Well, of course he turns on the microphone. The first thing I do is cough into it. So just make sure you're all awake. Let's get started with the maybe the last presentation for some of us here at TechEd today and for the week. And I don't know about you, but my brain is just about filled up to here. Hang on just a quick second. Let's see actually what I wanted to do. Let's go ahead and start that timer. So today we have App 307, Live Tiles, the Good, the Great, and the Ugly. My name is Matthew Hinson, Chief Bottle Washer at Red Jungle Limited. And you can catch me on Twitter at Matthew Hinson. I'm not very inventive with a tag name. I've tried to come up with something cute and it just sounds stupid, so I just went with my name. So let's see, we'll go ahead and get started today and see where we ended up with. What I'm hoping to walk you away with today is just a little idea of what it goes into making a live tile. Now, a lot of what I'm going to show you code-wise is probably not as applicable as it was when I made up this demo. I don't work for Microsoft, so I don't get permission to see all those pretty little bits that they have out there. So I had to make it on what was available to us. And I do know that some things have changed since then. So I did ask the organizers, could we wait a week and could I give this again a week later? Because I'd really like to incorporate what I learned so far this week. But they said, nope, got to do it today. So I'll do it today and see if we can get you out of here on a high note and you can head on home and have some good time. I will be doing a fair amount of coding, but not too bad, mostly just walking through our code. So let's see what we're going to be covering today. What makes tile a live tile? And more importantly, what makes it useful? You know, it's really interesting is that I happen to know for a fact that this is not the presentation that I gave to the speakers. Hang on just a quick second. Yeah. You know, I'm going to save ourselves a lot of grief by going ahead and getting something a little bit better for us. Hang on a second. Let me switch you on back to my phone because that's always fun to watch. While we're doing that, I can actually get a little bit ahead of my presentation, but I can get the right presentation on here. What I'd like to start with is to talk about, although it wasn't part of the original plan, I still think it's worthwhile talking about, and it gives me time to make the change and adjustment I need here to make. I'd like to talk about the what makes for a good live tile, what makes for a bad live tile. What I think are some of the great examples of a live tile out there and how they can be used. And the ones that I really happen to like a lot that I think are very useful are AccuWeather, which you may see I've got there quite a bit. So AccuWeather, I've got a for Lake Tutira, which is where I happen to live on the North Island. It's just out of Napier in the Hawke's Bay area. I've got Los Angeles up. Los Angeles is 22 degrees, but look at that. It's showing us the moon. So we happen to know it's night over there, so there's a sleep. Lake Tutira, a little bit overcast and cloudy. Los Angeles got some thunderstorms going on tonight. London, we happen to have nice sun going on for the day. And, unfortunately, we have Sydney 22. I do have another Sydney there, but I guess the wireless probably cut out on us, and so we didn't get exactly the PowerPoint we wanted. Live tile I was hoping for, because I also have Sydney, Canada, and trust me that it really contrasts with Sydney, Australia in terms of temperature and everything else. Hang on just a second. Let's get this presentation going. There we go. Go into there. And that's the one we want. Copy. So excuse me while I make some sausage here. I hope you don't mind. And we'll just drop this into a let's drop it right there and run it. That's better. Let's run that one instead. Yeah, much better. Nothing like having the wrong one up. So anyways, all right, so life cycle of a live tile, creating a live tile that is good, making that live tile be great for your end users. What exactly is the life cycle of a live tile? Life cycle of a live tile is not as straightforward as you would think at first. There's lots of different ways it can go, but the one thing you have to remember, and this is the one that I'll stress again and again in the presentation, is that you are running on very limited hardware. The hardware is got a small form factor, and your users want to be able to use their phone when they're out on the town. They do not want your live tile and the processes that you're using up their battery. They will not appreciate it. So we want to make a live tile be good and great, but it's got to play well. And for that, you got to understand the life cycle of the live tile. And I'm also going to show you some things that, we'll talk about them. I'm actually not going to show you because if I show you, then I might be guilty for you going and doing them. But I will have links in the slides that will let you know where to go get those if you really want to see what you shouldn't do, the real uglies in the world. So one of the things we've got to talk about is what does the user need? We need that is that's what makes a live tile more than a good live tile, but a great live tile, is you need to understand what does the user see. You want necessary and sufficient. Don't show them more than they need, and don't show them less than they absolutely want. But don't overload them. And that's a really hard balance to strike, which kind of goes back to the whole the design aesthetic who shall not be named. That goes back to that whole sort of thought, is that we're trying to be authentically digital, we're trying to allow the person to get in, get out, feel comfortable, but not be overloaded and not feel lost. So I have two different types of live tiles I like to talk about. We have what's known as the live tile, and then we also have a live tile that's called a live tile, but what I like to call the busy tile. All right. So live tile can do some really good things for us. It imports useful and current info to the user at a glance. Live means that the information displayed is being updated and should be changing from some sort of source. A good live tile does not directly use the resources of the device to achieve those updates. It should be using the Microsoft notification push service. If you've been to some of the earlier talks on Windows 8, that's changing to the Windows push notification service. Windows 7 still uses the Microsoft push notification service. I did notice that they decided to drop one of the letters. For Windows Phone 7, it's MPNS, so they still have the push in there. Whereas for Windows 8 and what will be the Windows 8 phone, they're just calling it WNS, and they've dropped the P. Although they still say it, it's not in the acronym. I find that rather interesting. I think they're just going to talk more and more about Windows notification and less about push and pull. One of the thing that you want the thing to do is save the user time. If a live tile does not save the user some time, it's of no use to him or her. It's just taking up space, screen space, and more likely to be thrown back onto the list of all the other apps that they may or may not use on an unregular basis. A live tile is much, if you planned it well, is much more likely to be pinned and stay pinned on your front page and to be appreciated. So what's a busy tile? Well, Shakespeare said it best, I think my favorite example of a busy tile that does absolutely nothing, but certainly looks cool, is the People Hub, which is a slightly different thing. We call that a live tile, as you see here in the People Hub. It does lots of flashing, moves back and forth, likes to show you lots of faces. Theoretically, it should be showing you who's tweeting, but I found from watching it, it has no relation to who's tweeting, who's talking, who's making posting. It just seems to randomly pick them. So it's a busy tile, and it's using up the processor. However, it also represents a hub for Microsoft, because there's more than just Twitter or Facebook. It's your contacts. It's a centralized place. So I give it a pass. I give it an okay, because that kind of makes sense for it. It's trying to represent more than just being an application. So, but it is a busy tile. It's not really giving you any useful information other than to say, hey, I'm here. Pay attention to me. Another one that's really, in some ways, annoys the hell out of me is the Xbox Live one. It's not even a hub. It just does nothing but shoves up. Although I must say I look a lot younger there than I really think that my avatar really makes me look just a lot younger and prettier and a lot less fat. So yeah. Other than that, that's about all I find the Xbox Live. So I don't necessarily like it using up my clock cycles, but oh well, what can you do? So that's a busy tile. So those are some great examples of a busy tile. So, as I can say, my precious, remember always and always when it comes to dealing with live tiles, precious is the clock cycles. Precious is the battery life. You must always think about they love their precious and do not try to take it away from them. Gollum will get upset with you. A busy tile in the Microsoft world, as I say, is a start, is sort of like a hub, and it's a start icon. And as I also did allude to, just because it's a busy tile does not mean it's bad. And it also, a busy tile is not necessarily live. They can be, they don't necessarily have to be, they're not necessarily equal. But it is something you want to think carefully about. Space is limited. I don't usually have my Xbox Live pinned on my front page. I pinned it here for today's demo. It's just such a waste of time that I pin it right off there. I go off and find my apps that I want in my games. So space, if it's a busy tile, more likely to get unpinned, I have found from talking with people who use these types of phones. By the way, I absolutely love these phones, and I absolutely love the live tiles. So I'm actually rather passionate about the live tiles. So this is the part where I wasted time while I tried to do some magic and showed you some of my favorite ones, like AccuWeather. But I'm going to go ahead and switch on back over to, and they named it Elmo, which is really great because I'll never forget the button to push. This is called Elmo. So I want to know if I squeeze him, will he giggle or something for me? I don't know. So I've got a couple of live tiles that actually do tell me something here. By the way, let's see if we've got internet access. No, we don't. Let's go ahead and see if I can get that up. Now, one of the things I want to talk to you about is a static icon. What's really kind of interesting here is I have a tile on my front page that isn't a live tile. Why do I keep it there if real estate's at such a premium? It's because it's something that, especially here at TechEd, I have been trying to get to all the friggin' time because the darn thing keeps dropping me off. So I put the tile right there on the front page. That's great. We're back online. Let's see if we're really online. Is it really going to do it this time? And we're watching for up there in the corner, see if it likes it. I find that once I get it going, if I don't move the phone, then it's a happy camper. So let's go back in there. Let's let it think about it some more. Ah, there we go. Now we're connected. Good. Okay, so a live tile I find useful is Twitter. It lets me know when someone mentions me. I've asked it to tell me. So it flips over and gives me a mention. It also gives me a toast, which is another type of notification. I won't be covering toast, although that is one of the things that you can do through the push notification system. I've already shown you my favorites, which are the weather. And there we go. Now we can really see the difference between Sydney, Australia, and Sydney, Canada. Sydney, Canada is night, and it's 16 degrees, and it looks like it wants to rain. Sydney, Australia is 28 degrees and very sunny in the middle of the day. So that to me is a great example of using a live tile. Now, what's interesting here is they did not use the standard built-in live tile elements. They're actually on the fly generating a picture. They're generating a, I think it's a PNG, on their servers. That's important. They generate the PNG on their servers, not on your phone, and they just give a URL and you bring down that picture. And they're not using the other elements. Something else, here's another thing that's a live tile. I have a live tile here that in some ways is live in that it shows me something related to what's happening on the applications, but it doesn't really go off to another service. It's dependent totally upon, I'm supposed to be giving this talk right now, so let me go ahead and mark that I've got that done. Yeah, that's great. Let's head on back to our home page, and according to the tasks, I have no tasks due. So I've met my tasks. Here's a live tile that is actually updating itself based upon something happening on the machine. So although the example I'm going to be talking about here today is a live tile going off to the push notification system, there's no reason you can't make a perfectly valid and good live tile that doesn't do anything but runs completely on the local machine.
Sir,
yes?
Can they reorganize themselves? Like that one was hidden and it gave you a notification you couldn't see.
No, at this point in time they cannot. I get to choose how important it is to me. They've got to use toast if that's what they want to do. That is correct. Yeah. I'll tell you, if you toast on my homepage and it's not really important, you're out of there. That's right. But don't bug me, please. I will scroll down. That's how to me, I much prefer that to toast. But I do know some people who really like toast. So I don't mean to denigrate it, just one of those personal things. Then, of course, we have static tiles like TechEd, which I keep hoping would do something like show you all saying, wow, he's doing really good, but it just sits there and does nothing. So, anyways, let's move on back to the presentation, and we'll come back to that phone later. So, we've got, that's some useful live tiles I wanted to show you, and the examples of the different ones. So, we've got two faces. Now, as I said, Sky, as you saw, AccuWeather is not actually using these. They've got their own setup, and they're doing it completely through a PNG. You have the capability of passing what's known as a count. It's going to be called a badge in Windows 8. And I've heard rumors that instead of being a circle, it's going to be a square. Ooh. You can specify the background image that you want to show up. And that can be a resource that's on the phone itself, or it can be a URL. You have the ability to specify what is a valid URL to go off to look for as part of your process, so you don't have to worry about someone somehow getting directed to the wrong website. And then finally, a title, and that's the front phase. The back content, it's kind of interesting. The title is at the, it's the same sort of layout. You don't have a badge, but here's where you can actually put some text in, some textual stuff. You can put a slightly different background image, which, by the way, okay, so I've got a background image, and I have a background image. I've heard that they're going to give us more than just two faces in tiles. I've heard rumors between 3 and 6. So I'm only imagining what's going to be like the back background tile, but we shall see where we end up with that when they finally release that SDK. And these are things that you can change to whatever you want. The count has to be an integer. And it's got to be less than 99. You can make it larger than 99, but then it just shows 99 plus. Which, by the way, I did not know that it did 99 plus until yesterday. So some content I got to add from another speaker. Standing on the shoulders of giants, as I like to say. Now, real important, I got asked this so many times, how do I make it flip? You don't. You have no control on when it flips. The phone gets to decide when it makes sense, when it's got processor time. And it does the flips, and it decides when it's going to do the flips for which tiles completely on its own. So you can't make it decide which face it's going to go to. You're at its mercy. Okay, so planning for a good live tile. First off, ask yourself, does your app have something to say that can be presented? And can it be represented in a simple way? Don't add noise just to make your tile really live, because that's not really live. Users, as I've said before, users will just unpin it. And can it be, is that shiny necessary? If you're going to add information, AccuWeather went ahead and gave me moons and gave me suns and gives me clouds and gives me lightning. That's shiny. Anybody here happen to be a fan of Firefly? Yeah, so a few of you will get the reference to Shiny. Yeah. So Shiny is great. Shiny makes you want it, but you really got to make sure that Shiny makes sense. But if it does, by all means. If you understand the aesthetic, then you can break the aesthetic. That's fine. But first, understand it. So, authentically digital first. That's back to the whole design aesthetic, whose name shall not be mentioned. One of its major points is that we want to be digital. Again, don't use an image to represent information. Now, it's interesting, of course, because as I go back to AccuWeather, they use an image to show rain. So again, it's fine to break the rules, just understand what they are before you break them. And so tile really is kind of a Zen sort of thing. The Zen of the tile is you want to be simplistic, you want to be simple, you want to be authentic, unless, of course, you don't want to be. Oh, and again, always ask yourself, is that shiny really necessary? Ask yourself again and again. All right, why do we care about the Zen? And I've mentioned on this a little bit. Devices have limited power. Don't waste it. Your users won't appreciate it. A live tile is not trivial, and that's what I'm going to show you here today. Now, I have seen people say, wow, look, we've got the whole Windows Azure system, and I went, wow, all that work I did, because it took me many, many, many hours sleeping outside, you know, in the living room on the couch, because I had come to bed way too late, trying to figure out how to make this thing work, and I was like, great, I got here. And the day I got here, I found out that they released the Azure push notification system for Windows 8, and it was going to be able to use on the Windows Phone 7. I was like, great. I wasted all that time. And then I went to the presentation and went, hey, I didn't waste that time. It still got the exact same level of complexity. The only thing that Azure does for you is they take care of hosting your server. Everything else remains exactly the same. So a live tile is not trivial. You got to really know what you're doing. Now, there are hacks that are out there that will make this easier. Please don't. I beg you, don't. There was a Microsoft group that went around showing off some Windows applications. And they did a live tile for an update that was, in all that was holy, should never have ever been let out into the wild. And it really, really scared the heck out of me. However, I do have a link to the links that will allow you to find how exactly to do that. Basically, what it comes down to is that when you're doing a live tile, you've got to use the Will Wheaton. If you follow Twitter, that's Will Wheaton's Twitter. And the paradigm of a live tile, which is don't be a dick. And that's really important. So what is the life cycle of a live tile? Oh, and by the way, we are going to get to code, I promise. I'm almost done talking. All right, the life cycle I'm going to be showing you is from the SD1K. Its manifest is it sets the initial tile when you first load it up. You're going to need to do a notification channel URI reference sent. This is where your app needs to talk to your server, get authorization, go off to the push notification, get a URI, pass it back down, blah-de-da-de-da. We'll show that in a little bit more. Your web server, or if you're using the new Azure support, Azure will go ahead and push that information out to the Windows notification service. In our case, it's the Microsoft push notification service. And then finally, you're out of the way, and the device and the MPNS coordinate new info. Now, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that means that your web application that you wrote doesn't ever actually talk directly to your live tile. Live tiles are never done directly from your server down to the device. The device is always going through push notification service for live tiles. And here's Microsoft's really, really complicated diagram. But as complicated as it really is the steps that are necessary. I won't walk you through it because we're going to see it in a moment. Okay, enough blah blah. Let's do some coding, or at least take a look at some code. I switched over there a little bit quickly. Bring up the preview. There's the screen. Good. All right. So what I'm going to show you is timebox.co.nz. This is a multi-project time tracking software as a service system. The idea here is that you can go ahead and have multiple projects working for multiple clients. You can log your client, start a timer, say I'm doing this work for them, stop that timer, move on to the next thing, and go along the way. We're going to have a simple Windows Phone 7 app that can see the timer status. I didn't get around to making it hook up where I could actually control the timers from it. That's coming up next week. It's on my slate of things to do, so we can actually have something for the Windows Phone 8 when it finally releases. We're going to hook up that live tile in this device to be able to talk to Timebox. And then we're going to use the website to start a new timer, and then we're going to wait, and hopefully the Microsoft Push Notification Service, without making you all wait too long, will show an update to the live tile. All right, so live tile in action. All right. So here's our time box. This is the actual live running website. We won't be, I'll leave that going so you can see I'm actually logging my time for the day. And you'll actually be able to see that a little bit later. So let's take a look at our two solutions. Here's Timebox. It's a web server. Not a whole bunch of interesting stuff going on here. I'm not going to go in depth into exactly how what it does because not a big help for you all. It's an MVC application we wrote. And what I have done, however, is I've gone ahead and added here in the areas, I've used the REST API. So that's an interesting point. Let me go ahead and real quickly. So on the server, I'm using Elma. And I'm also using a NuGet package called MetroPimp, which I heartily recommend. Makes it real easy to push things out to live tiles. On the Windows Phone, I use REST Sharp. And then I also use the phone application Scaffolder. So those NuGet packages will make your live tile work a heck of a lot easier. And I can come back to the slide at the end if you find yourself typing a little bit too fast. Let's go ahead and head on back over to the code. But I want to let you know that there are some NuGet packages so that I don't have to do a whole bunch of extra work. Okay, so what do we got now? We have we had gone ahead and used the REST API. That's the new Windows REST API. And I've made a control panel controller and a time box controller. And the Timebox controller has some pretty simple things inside of it. It has three items. We're going to get a request token. We're going to ask it to update my tile. And the last thing we're going to do is we're going to tell it what is the MPNS, Microsoft Push Notification System, what's the URI that it should use when it wants to communicate with us. Other than that, these are the only APIs currently open to the Windows Phone at this point. This will eventually be filled with a lot more. What about this get request token real quickly? This has to do with authorization. Don't be passing passwords around. The Microsoft Push Notification System, it needs to be able to talk to your server to get that information. And we really don't want passwords to be passed around. So you need to set up some sort of authentication, OAuth, some other type of logon. And we will look at that real quickly. And then I also built a way that I can force this thing to update my tile in case the MPNS is taking too long, or I really don't believe my live tile when it tells me my timer is still running. So there's really nothing special here. I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time on this code. We've got a couple of things. We have authentication helpers. This comes from plugin kit. We're going to look for whether or not we have that user device. If it's been added, great. If it hasn't, if it has been added, we ignore it. And so let's get to the meat of what we really care about, which is the time box itself. And this is the Windows. This is the time box Metro time box. So what I've got, it's got a nice XAML page, time box XAML. And let me go ahead and let's see. Quick question. Well, you know, it always helps when a person opens up the correct project. Yeah, it's much better. All right, so the first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to go ahead and let me go ahead and spin it up in the Windows Phone emulator. Now, this is interesting. I have not been seeing this until recently. In fact, because I'm unhappy with the way it's working, I'm going to fall back to my one button. Scott Hanselman says have a one button reset. Okay, maybe it's two button reset. App, thank you. All right, do I have caps locks on? Yeah. Oh. There we go. This is what's known as downtime, dead air, bad thing. So we just keep talking, and now, ladies and gentlemen, a tap dance. Lovely. So let's go ahead and open that up. Life is just not being kind to me today, folks. I had the same problem with my earlier one today, and it looks like it just wants to keep on doing the bad things to me. All right, well, we're going to press on anyways, and what I originally had planned for you is not to show you all the code at once, because it is rather daunting, and I had it all nicely broken out into regions that I could collapse. I'm sorry? No, actually, I'm not the code. Oh, absolutely, I can do that. That's not a problem. I can absolutely show it with using good old Elmo. Now, it's mostly the code, because there is a lot of code here, and it can be really confusing. So I'll just try to walk through it without the regions, and I do apologize for the technical glitch, but that's what happens. So let's go ahead and run up the emulator. Yeah, I like that better. I didn't like it saying the whole Windows Phone boot things regoing. Wasn't what at all what I like to see. All right, so the first thing up is I've got this thing running, of course, as you can see, against my localhost. I am running against IIS, and it is currently called Time Recorder. I need to give this device a name, and we'll just call it Emulator. Let me give it Emulator. Ah, yes, I always forget this. For those of you who haven't done a lot of phone development on your computer, if you don't want to sit there and click with your mouse on the keyboard, page up. And that allows you now to type from the keyboard. And I always forget that the first time I start typing. So we'll just go ahead and go back to Emulator. And let's put in the user email. Now this is the email that I use to log in to the timebox.co.nz. And I'm going to type my password, and you will be able to see it, and I swear you all to secrecy to not tell anybody what this password is. I'm sure you'll all forget it very quickly. Now, if we're successful, and if the server is running correctly here on the local host, we will get back a notification. If it's not, that's okay. And it is registered. The time box is registered. So let's go look at that in the database and see that real quickly. And now also, theoretically, we're ready to receive push notifications. So let's minimize that for a moment. Yeah, the name of my computer is no reflection on my my choice of development platforms. I am running SQL 2012. Very happy with it. So there's the emulator I just added, and there's that device notification that we go off to the third party. So one of the things I want to talk about, and let's go ahead and take a look at it real quickly here, is let's minimize this all the way. So what happened during the unauthorized button? So first thing I did was I went ahead and I started the REST client. This is the REST Sharp I told you about. There is, in Windows Phone 7, you had to use the HTTP web client and do a whole bunch of setup. It was very, very painful. Don't go that route. You know, look for NuGet. There's so many good solutions out there, and people have wrapped up all this really painful stuff for us. So using REST Sharp, I was able to declare a REST client. I told it where to go to. In this case, the API is the Windows Phone portal, Timebox. And what I'm going to ask it for is that using that good old REST API, I'm requesting a token. This is the only time that I pass through the username and password. And please, although I am doing this over HTTP, do not do it over HTTP. If you're going to pass the person's password around, do it over HTTPS. One of the interesting things about the Microsoft push notification system is that it can actually tell whether or not I'm doing all this work between the server and the device, and the server, the website that's talking to it, is it going over HTTP? If it is, they restrict you down to 500 notifications per day. Now, I do not know if that's per device or per application, but Microsoft doesn't want you doing this over HTTP. So they'll allow you to do it through a quick proof of concept. 500's plenty to do that, but they're not going to let you try and deploy this without going ahead and buying the certificates and locking it up. But even so, I don't really want to pass around the person's username. So instead, I'm going to ask for a REST API token. That token is what will be used by the REST API to talk back and forth with the phone and know that it is authenticated. So this will be the only time. After that, it'll use that REST API that I had in the database. I call the asynchronous execute async. Windows 2010, there is no framework 4.5 available. And even if there had been, I wasn't aware of a wait and async and await until earlier this week, enough to be able to pull it off. So I'm doing it the old-fashioned way. We do have a upon the execute. We're going to go ahead and call off into request token completed. And that went ahead and gave me back that username, said the allow push is okay. We save our settings. And we set up the push channel. Now, this is where the real meat of the problem come into play. And I think it's worthwhile going back to the slide real quickly and giving you a reminder of the... laser pointers don't work well on LCD monitors. So this is where all the blue lines come into play. Right now, what we're doing is we talk to the cloud service. We talk to I'm the cloud service. I've talked to Timebox. I said, give me a token. It said, yeah, okay, fine, you got a token. Now I've got to go off to the MPNS, and I got to say, okay, now that I've got the server I'm going to talk to, I need you to give me this unique URI that identifies me, this device. The Microsoft push notification service gives you back this really long URI. Your device then needs to go back up to the server, the cloud server in green, and say, hey, when you want to talk to me, use this URI. Then your cloud service will then use that URI and push line 5, the notification down to the Microsoft push notification service. That then cooperates with the phone for when resources are good. Let me give you an example when you would not want the Microsoft phone notification system to work. Hello, 111. Yes, I just had my car. Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. My live tiles are being updated. Can you hang on a second? If you're in a phone, that all gets stopped. Phone calls. Remember, we often forget, what's a phone? What is a smart device for? What is this thing? It's to make phone calls. And so Microsoft, very smartly, same with as Apple did too, is it says, hey, look, when you're making a phone call, everybody else goes to the background. And so everything else gets shut off. You don't want my server coming in and suddenly calling off to the phone and the phone having to be listening there and start responding in the middle of a phone call and cutting off the person or breaking up. So that's where we absolutely understand why this happens. So Microsoft push notification service, you have no control over when it will broadcast or how often it will broadcast. It just queues it up. So back to our code here. So now to walk you through that, so we start this HTTP notification channel. That's a service provided for us by Microsoft. It's all set up and has everything hard-coded. In order to go look things up, it knows the URI to go talk to the Microsoft push notification service. We give it a couple of event handlers that say, hey, when you are updated or an error occurred, I want you to call off to some other functions that I'll have defined down below. If I already have a URI, then just move on and we'll go on our way. So let's take a look at the URI updated, which is the more interesting one. So when the URI gets updated, this is the notification. Microsoft push notification system has come in and has said to us, hey, you have in fact got a new URI. We need to now somehow get that URI up to the cloud server that has our information, Timebox in this case. So just to make sure Microsoft hasn't given us something funky, we do our normal validation checks on the argument. We then turn it into a string because, that's what everyone always does with the URI. We make it a string, turn it into a URI, and never actually work with the URI. We always turn it back into a string before we do anything with it. I've never quite figured out why we do that. Now, a little something I wanted to cover here real quickly was I talked about the REST client. And have I lost? I may have. No problem. We'll just pick it up from here. We set up the push channel. We begin the evoke. We say, yes, I absolutely have got something back. The update push channel goes ahead, and this is where the REST client comes in. We're going to do a REST client with authentication. Remember I said that token? I don't want anyone else to come in there and somehow redirect the messages that are supposed to go to you to somebody else's device, since I have a REST. So I'm going to have it with authentication. That authentication right here does a little quick thing, just uses the REST sharp to start a new REST client, gives the server UI, and then sticks in the username, and you'll notice here, not the password, but that token that I talked about, that auth token that we have negotiated with the server. And then once I've got that up, and it comes back and says, yep, everything's fine. Wait for my async to come back from the cloud server saying, yeah, everything's fine. And that's where I show that message that says, okay, now theoretically we are ready to serve. So let's go ahead and fire up time box on here. And let's fire up the Windows Phone emulator. And we'll go ahead and let that do a complete OS boot. Anytime now. Windows Phone. And we're going to really keep our fingers crossed and hope the magic happens. Now it's looking good. Ah, it's going against the live time box. Now what's interesting there, let me show you that for a second. I have it on release right now. Let me debug it to the server. And by the way, let's make sure that we've got the right URI for the server. We are going to localhost. Yep, that's the right one. So let's debug locally. Let's run that back up again. There we go, localhost. So I've also managed to make it run both locally, and I can go against the live server if I want to test it. So remembering page up this time before I start typing away and look like an idiot, we'll do emulator. And we'll go ahead and put in the and then finally the super secret password. Now, one of the reasons why I spent so much time here going through, and here I'm going to go ahead and show you kind of, here's the request token has been completed. We've actually come back from the server. Server said, yep, here's that token. We've stored that token away. It's good and registered. Give it a second. Keep our fingers crossed. Ah, theoretically, we're now ready to receive push notifications. And that should then... Let's go to the live tile. So here's my Metro time box. Let's pin it to the start. And right now, got nothing happening. There's my nice little Metro time box icon. So let's go off to the website, and we will duplicate this. And actually, guys, I usually use Chrome or IE. But for some reason, I decided to use Firefox for the demos, and I really don't know why, I just kind of felt like it. So let's log ourselves on in. Go to our time logs. And we're doing the test. And this is where every demo person goes, please, demo gods, be nice to me. Take a look at my live tile. It's different. It actually shows a badge of 1. And it's got those nice green arrows indicating I have a timer running. Let's resize this so we can see the two of them together. And it looks like we're going to have pretty good lag here today. By the way, this is not happening locally. I am going out to the Microsoft Push Notification Service. And it's coming back into this machine and into this emulator. So let's say we pause it. Now you've been told you've left a timer paused. Still got one going. Let's go ahead and let's say I'm doing tech ed for Microsoft. Yeah, that's good. Let's start that puppy back up. Now let's see how long it takes before, and there we go. We now have, so what did I do on the back side? That's a good question. This is where we do another tap dance, and we wait to see how long before the phone decides it wants to go ahead and allow us to see the second tile. And I will just talk about that a little bit. Let's see if if Elmo can help us out here. Let's see if my time box is going there. There we go. Got a flip. Shows you the title of what I'm working on, and shows you how much elapsed time. So now right there on my phone, what am I showing you? How many entries have you made for today? If you have a timer running or if the timer is paused. If it is running, what is it with the first 9 characters? And how much time have you logged on that task?
Is there a gesture that makes you flip the
top? No. You have no control over when the tile. Now, of course, I would much prefer to have the task you're on and the amount of time on the front. Unfortunately, the badge will only allow me to have whole numbers and only 99. So that wouldn't work. So I ended up throwing it on the back. That's where the restrictions come by. How could you get around that? You could make a PNG that contains all that information on your server and then just push the URL to the PNG. You absolutely could if you wanted to. Yes, you can do almost anything you want, but you can do that up on the server and just push that URL down. Microsoft will try 10 times to get the image from the URI that you've given it for an image, and if it can't get it on the 10th time, it stops trying until the next update. So it won't keep trying over and over again. It won't ping your server to death if it happens to get a wrong one or a device is outdated. The other thing that I've added on to here is, so let's log that one down. Let's also go ahead and give ourselves another TechEd MS. And this was total time, which I can't spell, but that's okay because I'm on the clock. And we'll say plus 2 hours. And we shall log it. All right, so got total time. I have no clock running. The icon now shows me no timers are running. We're good. Shows that I have a total entry of 2 times. And when it flips over, it's actually going to give us 2 hours and 2 minutes total amount of time for the day. Obviously, it'd be really nice if I had a third tile so I could show you the total time you have booked for today, the time you've got currently running on the current one, and whether or not your time box is running. So let's
take. Can you update the image?
Yes, you can. You can update the image by updating it on your server and then passing the URL to the updated image.
So could you actually do image generation to provide you the additional data that you want?
Absolutely. That's exactly how AccuWeather does it. So for example, here, back. Yeah, so as you can see here on my time box, I have 5 today. My timer is running for it. This actually is running against the live and doing the presentation. That's where the developer goes, oh, what changes did they make on the server? Because it's not showing any time for this task today. I'm going to go have to bang someone on the head for making changes when I'm going to be doing a demo with it. But that's what happens. Anyways, that's our production site. So let me go ahead and head on back over to finish up the slideshow for us, because everyone loves a slide, right? All right.
Can I ask one more quick?
Absolutely.
The one that had a grid of 9?
Yep.
How does that work?
That actually is done completely by Microsoft. You have no control over. We can't do that. We don't have the permissions to do that. People hub. That's a Microsoft speciality. Can't do anything like a hub. We don't know about Windows 8. There was some rumors we might be able to hook into hubs if we did contracts. But so far, we don't know for a fact. Exactly right. Yeah. So we have unsupported APIs for, which is really funny. If you go into the MSDN, you will find they've documented the unsupported APIs for background agents for Windows Phone. So they'll tell you how to do this. They'll tell you not to do it, but they'll tell you it's there. And I actually give Microsoft credit for this. This is part of their open source, I personally think. And I really like to say kudos to Scott Gu. His goo-ness is really helping Microsoft. Even when they have unsupported APIs, they let us know about the APIs. No more of this hidden stuff that people go and p-invoke and say Microsoft's trying to cheat us. Great stuff. So they tell you where they are. Don't use them, please. They're a bad idea. I'm sure they'll add them for Windows Phone 8. Again, please don't. There is a real common hack, which is your application can use Toast internally, set up a clock where it can fire off a Toast event. The Toast event can actually then be smart enough to tell it to update the live tile, and then the live tile can update from something internally. Please don't do that. You're using up clock cycles. And in the name of all that is holy, please do not use the phone to generate a PNG. It's not made to make pictures. I actually saw someone build a graphic library, download it onto the phone as part of the application, and he was building up a PNG with all the information he wanted and pushing it with toast notification to basically achieve the hub look. The phone became a dog. Looked great for a demo, but it just killed the phone. Battery life just went down. It was a good hour if you were lucky. Don't do that. Please don't do that. But it is good to know about it, because there might be a valid reason to do so. These links will be available on my slide deck, which will be pushed up. This gives you the good, how to make the most of the Windows Live tiles. It's a really good primer. It's what I use mostly to get this done. The great, I actually am a rather big fan of MSDN documentation. A lot of people aren't. But I actually find it very, very good, and I think they're getting better and better at it. And those two entries there were extremely great on understanding the life cycle. And the ugly. I've gone ahead and given you the hacks and the look-throughs if you want to take a look at these. The last one there, Schwan.cz, he talks about using the phone to make an image because it's so pretty and makes his you know. All right, so you probably were lucky you didn't. I see a couple of common faces, so you had to suffer through my earlier one. I do apologize, you also had to suffer through me on this one too. But I would say go see this next guy. Unfortunately, he's already done it. That would be me, and that was my last session. Again, you can contact me. I'm at redjungle.com. Twitter, I Twitter quite a bit. Drivel, some people would say, not so much Twitter. I am on Facebook, but less and less these days. I'm much more a Twitter type person. And yes, our FACO Live Tiles resources that you've been seeing on every slide. And I would like feedback, even with the bobbles and the breaks and the fall downs. But I'm actually rather proud of myself. I did much better this time around than the last demo where we had a fall down. So I'm very happy today. And then the last, I'd like to say thank you to Microsoft for giving me the chance to build in a workspace that I absolutely love and enjoy. I love the .NET. I must admit they've made me uncomfortable by making me go to XAML and the Windows 8. And they actually wanted me to work with HTML5 and JavaScript. Ow! but okay, I'll go along for the ride because I trust them. Because so far they've never led me wrong. I actually was one of the few people who actually kind of liked Calm. So when I found out that the underpinnings of Windows 8 runtime is Calm, I was kind of like, oh yeah, cool, we're going back to the future, yeah. So anyways, thank you very much. I do appreciate your coming along. Thank you for attending the conference. Hope you all had a good time and learned a lot and you don't have brains leaking out your ears. Any last questions? I'll be here for a few minutes. Any questions?